This is an ABC podcast.
It's time for kickoff. Welcome to NRL Monday with Andrew Moore. Insights, analysis, and all you need to know in the NRL on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
And good evening. Welcome to NRL Monday. I'm Andrew Moore. Certainly excited about the coming hour. One of the best coaches in the NRL will join me shortly, Andrew Webster from the Warriors. After they pumped Gold Coast, they're getting ready for Friday night's massive game against Penrith in Auckland, and he's always a good chat. My mate Matthew Elliott, who used to coach Canberra, Penrith and the Warriors, will join me to co-host the second half of the show. And if you do listen to our rugby league coverage between Thursday and Sunday, can I urge you to stick around, because I do have a rather important announcement straight after the 7 o'clock news about one of our team members, and I would really like you to hear it. It was a weekend of blowouts in the NRL and the chance for league fans in Mudgee and Wagga Wagga to get a taste of top-flight action. More than 14,000 people attended the NRL Magic Round in Wagga over the weekend, while Matt and I were in Mudgee on Saturday. And what a great part of the world and an enthusiastic sellout crowd. But my goodness, the weekend began with the Sydney Roosters putting on 80 against North Queensland, 82 to be precise. Penrith returned to form after a bit of a lull, and I noticed Dean Ritchie writing in the Telegraph today that the premiership is a two-horse race. And again, these sorts of statements are designed to get reaction, I know. Well, mine is that I disagree. Had you been watching the Roosters the previous 2 weeks, you wouldn't have been totally convinced they're headed to a grand final, nor Penrith for that matter. I still think the Warriors are serious premiership contenders. They seem more capable than just about every other team in the NRL to cover injury issues. They have wonderful depth. Cronulla Sutherland, how can you ignore the Sharkies? They've emerged as a proper threat to win the title, winning 9 of their last 10 games. And Nicho Hynes and Braden Trindle are now combining perfectly as a halves combination. They've really found an identity. And if the Dolphins can make the top 4, they can threaten everyone. As they showed against the Dragons on Wollongong, they didn't play all that well. But they can score tries from anywhere. I do, though, have doubts that the Finns' defence is up to it. But I'm convinced this competition is far more than just a two-horse race between Penrith and the Sydney Roosters. How about you? You can give me a call on 1300 361 700 or text 0467 920 222. So to make a call, 1300 361 700 or text 0467 920 222. In fact, if I was to seed them in order of chances of winning the comp, currently it would be Penrith 1 for mine, Warriors 2, Roosters 3, Sharks 4, and Dolphins 5. But you can let me know if you agree or disagree. NRL Monday with Andrew Moore, it's 22 to 7.
Be part of NRL Monday.
Call 1300 361 700.
You're with Andrew Moore on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
Laurie Daly has confirmed today what many people thought was coming, and that is that he's standing down as coach of New South Wales, and talk about bowing out a winner. He was under enormous pressure this year throughout the series, enormous. After Queensland's win in 2025, down 20-0 in Origin 1, they needed a Caelan Ponga send-off to win. They got well beaten in Game 2, and a lot of the pressure was real. It is Origin, it is cutthroat. Very few coaches in Origin history have survived back-to-back series defeats. But this year, the Blues bounced back to win the decider in Brisbane convincingly and lift the shield at Lang Park. And look, Laurie Daly is one of nature's good blokes. Doesn't always make for a great coach, but Laurie is New South Wales through and through, and he's the only person to have captained and coached a winning series decider in Brisbane. That's pretty cool. And remember, in his first stint as coach, Laurie ended Queensland's 8-year dominance. So with this year's series win, what a great way to bow out. And speaking of good people, rinse and repeat for his replacement, Matt King. The 45-year-old has been an assistant coach for the Blues since 2017 and is also an assistant coach to Trent Robinson at the Roosters. And I did ask Matt a couple of years ago if he was ready to be a head coach, considering everyone reckons he's just too nice. And he very honestly said, I'm not sure. Well, he must be now. So good luck to Matt King. All the reports are that he'll agree to a two-year deal. That's not yet confirmed. Congratulations to Laurie Daly. New South Wales should be very grateful for your contributions as a player and a coach. But what is your reaction? Laurie's tenure a success in the end? Are you surprised he's decided against continuing on? And how about Matt King as the replacement? I guess the only other serious name in the mix for next year seemed to be former Blues captain Boyd Cordner. But look, Matt served his apprenticeship, and if he thinks he's ready, let him have a crack.
Got something on your mind?
Call Andrew now on 1300 361 700.
This is NRL Monday with Andrew Moore on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
Did you see the tackle by Brisbane Broncos NRLW legend Ali Brigginshaw yesterday? It was a shocker. A very ugly, dangerous throw on Canterbury Bankstown captain Taylor Preston in Wagga Wagga, a game the Broncos were to win 34-4, but it was pretty dangerous. Thankfully, Taylor Preston's okay after her head was driven into the ground by Ali Brigginshaw's tackle late in the first half. She's had a very long, distinguished career, Ali Brigginshaw, and I can't ever remember doing anything like this before. And in a rare move from the match review committee, Ali has been referred directly to the judiciary, meaning there is no limitations or restrictions when it comes to suspension if she's found guilty. So that judiciary hearing will be tomorrow night, and a text about that from John, who says, after Ali Brigginshaw's tackle in the Broncos Canterbury game, it appeared the referee wasn't going to take action until the bunker intervened. Now she's been referred directly to the judiciary. Should she have been set off rather than sent to the sin bin? I think yes, John. That was as 1980s a dangerous throw as I can remember seeing in a long, long time. Also on the text line, along with the Panthers and Roosters, do you think Sharks are a premiership threat? Everyone used to call the Sharks pretenders. A team that only beats bottom teams. However, in the last 6 weeks, they've beaten the Warriors in New Zealand, the Dolphins at Dolphin Oval, and the Knights before their injuries tore them apart. I'm sure you've watched Cronulla games at the start of the year, especially that atrocious performance in Perth. What's your opinion on the Sharks' recently improved form, especially the passing game of Braden Trindle? Angelo, a Sharks fan, look, as I said before, I think they're right in this premiership. It is in the last, how long has Craig Fitzgibbon been coached? 4 years? 4 years. And I know they've been a top four team. They won a couple of finals last year. To me, this is the only time in the last 6 weeks I've ever thought they're a fair dinkum premiership chance. I've never had before, and I've said this to Craig and other players, but I've never until recently walked away from a Sharks game thinking, gosh, they're a great team. But you do now. You can't not. I think they're playing awesome footy, and yes, they're a premiership threat. Also on the text line, evening, Maury. I'm getting a bit frustrated with the growing trend of good quality front-on driving tackles being hit with penalties for going past the horizontal. I hope this is a blip and not a permanent feature that may stamp out good tackles. Also, how good was Martin Hosking going at it from Taran? Yes, that was very, very good. And Liam Martin, he'll fire up against everyone. I thought he was outstanding the other night. Andrew, another great round of footy commentary from all the ABC Grandstand team. No matter what team's calling the games, it's top shelf always. Good on you, Craig. That's a lovely wrap for our talented depth here at ABC Sport. Where are you at with this talk of changing the kickoff rules? Currently, if you score points, you receive the ball from the kickoff and off you go again. What many in the game are campaigning for is scorer kicks off. And that certainly looks like it's going to be trialled at the end of the season for games not involving finals teams. Hello, Eels. Hello, Dragons. I don't love it particularly and don't believe it'll make all that much of a difference. Now, those in favour believe it will help reduce the blowouts. And again, we saw a number of them earlier in the season, and we certainly did in this most recent weekend, but it hasn't been that big an issue for most of the season, blowouts. But no matter what rules you implement, there'll be great teams, there'll be terrible teams, there'll be close games, and there'll be games with wide margins. Now, for example, there is no way on earth that North Queensland would have been any more competitive against the Roosters on Thursday night last week if they kept receiving the ball from the kickoff. They would have dropped it. They were hopeless. The negative to it, the change of rule, won't it actually reduce the ability of teams to fight back? For example, your team's down by 18 points with 15 minutes to go. You score a try, down by 12. If you get the ball back, surely you're a much greater chance of capturing momentum, and I think there's more chance then of it turning into an exciting game. So I'd be more than happy, I think, for the kickoff rule to stay as it is. But you may vehemently disagree. Either way, let's talk about it. 1300 361 700 is the open line number, or send me a text on 0467 920 222 at 6:45.
Notice something on the weekend that no one else did?
Call 1300 361 700 and be part of NRL Monday with Andrew Moore.
On ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
Well, a big discussion was after an article this morning. Is it just a two-horse race to win the comp, Penrith and the Roosters? And my answer, no. The Warriors have been great all year. They looked a little dusty a couple of weeks ago against Canterbury. In fact, I think that was one of their more ordinary performances of the year. But boy, didn't they turn it around at Robina on the weekend, crushing the Gold Coast Titans. And can't wait to call their game on Friday night against Penrith, because I'm sure when these two teams met earlier in the year out at Parramatta, it was, to that point, the game of the year. And I'm sure deep into the planning stage is the Warriors' impressive coach, Andrew Webster. He's on the line. Andrew, good to talk. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Mate, that was an impressive comeback, wasn't it, from a bit of a lull the week before against Canterbury. Were you happy?
Yeah, we were happy, mate. Definitely happy. It was a big turnaround. I thought the Dogs were excellent and we weren't at our best. So combination of both against a good team like that's not going to be good. And I thought we bounced back, but you know, there's still some things there that we're definitely going to have to get better at. Otherwise, it won't work. So, but yeah, we're definitely glad that we bounced back and went in the right direction.
It's such a cliche in the game, and used to be probably achievable with the great teams, a true 80-minute performance. Is that even possible, Andrew, these days with the speed of the game and so on?
Oh, well, yeah, you're never going to be perfect. I mean, look, we won 42-6. We only conceded one try.
Mm.
The last 8 minutes, I think we went 3 yardage errors, and we probably could have gone on a little bit more, if I'm being honest. We had the game there in a good situation. I think the Titans were still working hard and scrambling well, but we weren't as ruthless as we could be.
So that really intrigues me, Andrew, because the game's in the bag, and obviously you want, as you know, you want to shut the opposition down and keep playing good footy, but how much does it matter to a coach when they've already done the great work for 70-odd minutes?
It matters a lot.
Yeah, right.
How you finish matters a lot, mate. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, I walked down the sheds happy. We deserve to, you know, celebrate the victory and enjoy it. And when I say celebrate, I mean go out partying and the 6-day turnaround. I mean, just go down and really enjoy it and say well done. But at the same stage, like, if you don't finish those games when it's in the bag, you don't learn to practice to play for the 80. And then when the game's 12-all or 6 to go, you actually know what to do and you know how to be ready for that situation. And it's not just something you can turn on like a tap. You've got to actually practice it. So that's probably why coaches get frustrated when teams don't finish the job.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because you're about to get to the stage of the season where you're more likely to have those sort of games, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, and that's what we're excited about and that's what we're chasing. So good opportunities, but we move on. We're taking the lesson, and if we're in that situation against a good side this week, then hopefully we can be better at it.
I think one of the things I really have admired watching you guys all year is the depth you have. It seems to me you're as adept at dealing with injury as any club in the competition, because, you know, Jackson Ford is having the year, the season of his life, and he's gone for the year, and you lost Roger Tuivasa-Sheck a number of weeks ago for the year. You had James Fisher-Harris out for a long time. I know every club has injury. Luke Metcalf was injured. Tay Marty-Martin comes in and he's been outstanding in the halves. Is that something that's giving you a great deal of satisfaction, the fact that, you know, the old next man up mentality is really proving to be a success at your club this year?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think every club talks about next man up, but, I mean, you've actually got to be able to live it. We are very confident in whoever wears the jersey. I mean, Riley Tarice has been at our club for 5 weeks. He came on debut on the weekend. He was fantastic. We lost Tanner Boyd, another one that you mentioned.
Yeah, of course, yes.
Those disruptions need to be opportunities for others rather than they're the nail in the coffin to end your season or we can't do it now. That's completely the opposite. And I think if you believe in each other and believe in whoever comes in and you put time into them. I think that's the interesting thing. All our coaches are really good at making sure every player in our squad, if they're playing reserve grade or first grade, is getting that feedback and getting that improvement. And then it pays themselves back, the players and us as a club, when they get an opportunity. So, no, really proud of it. Like our young forwards particularly, I think they're Tanis Towers, Eddie Aramea,
yes.
Dimitri. I think they're outstanding.
Jacob Laban, gosh, he's having a great year
awesome.
Too.
But, great year.
But even Tane Tuipeke, who'd been playing sensational footy at fullback, he gets injured and you've got a real veteran there to call on. Chance Nicol-Klukestad, who's been a bit of a Freddy Fix-It in recent weeks, gets the opportunity at fullback and is just about man of the match. Like,
yeah,
that must be nice as a coach to know that, ah, crap, we've lost this guy playing so well, but I've got not only a really good player to come in, but someone with the experience he has.
Yeah, I mean, he's an international. He's played a lot of rep football, played in grand finals for the Raiders. Like, he's a beauty. I've been so impressed with Tane, the way he's played. I feel like he's really come on this year. He's such a team man. They're different. Like, they're different style of fullback. Mm. But when they both play to their strengths and their superpowers, they're both really good. So, yeah, really, really cool to be able to celebrate that. Whichever one plays fullback is going to produce and contribute a lot to our team.
We're joined by Andrew Webster, coach of the Warriors here on NRL Monday. So you mentioned you walked down the stairs at Robina the other night and you're happy, you're satisfied with the way they played. How quickly from that moment that you enter the rooms are you now focusing on Penrith the next week?
We're big on improvements, so we worry about that first. The biggest thing is physically, though, recovery. Making sure that they boys the right things. It's a six-day turnaround for both teams. Getting home, but yeah, first things review. We haven't looked at coaches have looked at Penrith, but the players haven't seen any clips on Penrith yet. Today we focused on reviewing ourselves, and then on Wednesday when they come back in, we'll show them the Panthers and we'll get ready to go for that. But first thing, when I was walking down, I was just thinking, how are we going to recover here? What do we need to work on?
Right.
And making sure our messaging was really good to the players. But, yeah, no mention of that yet.
And not even a thought of, gosh, we prepared well this week. We did that right. We got that right. Yes, you beauty. We ticked those boxes. What do we got to do now?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. I mean, this morning we reviewed what did we do well about the week.
Right.
We did it as a staff. We did it as players. We did it as senior groups. We did, you know, all sorts of different things. So we're certainly looking forward. Don't get me wrong, but all in the areas of improvements rather than worrying about the enemy yet.
So speaking of the enemy, you played, it was a great game. It was during the Origin period, so there are a lot of stars perhaps not out there, but gosh, it's a good game of footy. They did pip you in that game. The Warriors were fighting back gallantly in that second half. Because of the nature of the teams that took the field, how much can you realistically take from that game into this Friday?
Definitely. I think, but like you said, both teams played a great style of footy, and it warranted a sort of praise. Obviously, Nathan Cleary wasn't playing. We didn't have our two. They didn't have their Origin guys. We didn't have ours as well. So, we can definitely take a lot of good stuff out of it. But there was definitely we had two tries disallowed that night to hit the lead, which were our own doing, which we could have scored. And then we left a couple out there. And they're probably saying the same thing, to be fair. So, yeah, I don't probably worry about lining up who wasn't there. I'm more worried about who was there and what they did. And I think that gives us confidence that we can compete. But we don't want to just compete, we want to win. So we know we're going to have to be better and ice those moments that we missed last time.
Are they the team to beat, in your view, this year?
I think so. I think that's because of what they've done in the past too, but they're playing good footy and they've had more wins than anyone, haven't they? You know, so they deserve to be where they are. I think it'd be pretty hard not to suggest the Roosters should be favourites with them after their performance on the weekend. There's a lot of teams I think can win it, Mike, but...
Are you adamant though, Andrew, that it's got to be top four?
I think history says it helps.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, trust me, if we finish fifth or sixth, I'm not going in the dressing room saying to the boys, OK, we can't win.
That's right.
I'm an optimist, mate. If we come wherever we finish, we can do the job from there.
Now, if you come fifth and you're reported to have walked into your room and say, well, we're done, boys, thanks very much, that might become a news story.
I don't think I'll have a job the next day.
No, I think you'll be all right. The Warriors been so good so far. You know, some real hard work to come. Can't wait for the game on Friday. A home game for your lot. It'll be another sellout crowd there in Auckland against Penrith. Should be fantastic. Thanks for joining us, Andrew. Appreciate your time.
No, thanks for having me.
Who's hot?
Who is hot? Sam Walker. Wow, what a performance the other night against North Queensland. Sorry, Cowboys fans, but 36 points. 36 points. Now, look, I do appreciate how on the night how pathetic the Cowboys were, but to watch him mesmerise the defence just about every single time he had the ball was almost comical. He's having a memorable year, isn't he, having made his origin debut for Queensland, and in this form, conceivably, could be on track to lead the Roosters to a premiership. Sam Walker is hot.
Who's under the pump?
Well, it has to be the Cowboys, doesn't it? My goodness, the team embarrassed itself in the jersey against the Roosters, conceding 82 points at home as well. People drive for hours in North Queensland to support the Cowboys. Mind you, they'll tell you just up the road. But they have an amazing supporter base. And anyone who drove for more than, 4 minutes the other night should get their money back. Let's see pride kick in. They're in action this Thursday night against Gold Coast at Robina. Show us what you've got. Because I can't possibly imagine a team that gives up so meekly is any chance of playing finals football, even though they've got the best draw in the history of the world for the next 5 weeks. But they are under the pump to redeem themselves this very week. NRL Monday with Andrew Moore. We've got news in 3.5 minutes. Matthew Elliott will join me after the news. And I hope you can stick around because I do have a very important announcement about one of our colleagues and team members here on our NRL program straight after this 7 o'clock news. Round 6 of the NRLW season starts on Saturday at 12:45 at Belmore. Canterbury Bankstown takes on North Queensland at 3:15. Cronulla Sutherland plays Gold Coast. The Titans have been going great guns, and the Sharks have to be the disappointment of the season so far, considering the talent on that roster. The game at Shark Park. From 5:15 in Hamilton, the Warriors face Newcastle. And then on Sunday, Canberra plays top of the table Brisbane at Canberra Stadium, part of a doubleheader with the NRL. That's from 11:35. At 1:35, St George Illawarra up against the West Tigers at Jubilee. And finally, at 6:15, the Sydney Roosters play Parramatta in Gosford. That is the ABC Sport Match of the Round. Commentary with Declan Byrne, Dean Halitau, and Sharks fullback Jada Taylor. She is brilliant, Jada Taylor, so tune in for that. The table after 5 rounds, Brisbane and the Roosters appear a fair way ahead of the rest on 10 points, unbeaten. Gold Coast third on 8, Newcastle fourth on 6, Warriors and the West Tigers also on 6 points, and that is the top 6. Canberra and the Bulldogs on 4, the Sharks, Dragons and Cowboys on 2 points, with Parramatta the only winless team, none from 5. On the text line, 0467 920 222. Hi, Andrew, just listening to the show whilst I unpack my shopping. And I wanted to let you know that I'm putting the tomato sauce in the fridge. Lols, up Cronulla. Pistol Pete, you've got it 100% right, mate. Ali Brigginshaw inspired Brock Lesnar in the WWE wrestling, who brought back the extremely dangerous tombstone move at SummerSlam. Thank you, Jay from Dapto. I didn't understand any of those words, but I'm sure some people did. Andrew, love your work. Is it a silly idea to give the scoring team the option of kicking off or receiving? We'll have to give that some thought, Clayton. I'll put that to Matt Elliott after the news. What did you make of Hayden Watson's debut for the Melbourne Storm? Look, to be honest with you, I didn't see it. I was driving back from Wollongong, so I haven't yet had a look at the Melbourne Storm game, but I will this week and check it out. Glenn, hi, Andrew. Don't write off the Knights just yet. Even without the two Dillons, we have a fighting chance. One more win plus the bye in the last week before the finals. We're still there. On the day, we're capable of beating anyone. Always listen to the ABC radio calls, even with the TV picture on. Great calls you and your team present. Well, that's really good of you, Glenn. I appreciate it. I'm not writing Newcastle off. I don't think they can win the comp. But I think they've been one of the great stories of the year, and Justin Holbrook has been absolutely incredible. NRL Monday with Andrew Moore. It is news time as we approach 7 o'clock.
Your complete NRL wrap. This is NRL Monday. with Andrew Moore on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
Yes, welcome to the second half of the show, NRL Monday with Andrew Moore, and about to be joined by co-host Matthew Elliott. I did mention in the first half that I had an announcement regarding a member of our rugby league team. John Gibbs called me this afternoon to confirm something he had been fearing for a while. He has been diagnosed with cancer, specifically Hodgkin lymphoma. And he's asked me to let you know tonight. And Gibbs, he'd been feeling off for a couple of months. Lack of energy, lack of hunger. He'd lost 10% of his body weight and Jonty didn't have much to lose. And look, he may have turned 70 in May, but he's as fit and as robust as anyone I've ever known. And he keeps turning up week after week. And you'd never know that he was suffering. He's always been a fighter. And having this morning received the results of a biopsy, Gibbsy will see a hematologist later this week where he'll learn more, including a treatment plan. And he knows he's in for a fight, but he did want you to know that he's up for it. And the chance of recovery is very, very good. Now, I've known Gibbsy since the mid-1980s. I called my first ever game with him in the mid-1990s. And to this day, get a great kick out of working with him, and we've done so here at the ABC together since 2016. He and his wonderful, if not extremely patient wife, Julianne, know that we are with them. We are family. And as I discovered a year ago, the weight of support from the ABC team, and I'm talking about executives, colleagues, our head of sport, Tim Verrill, listeners, particularly you listeners. It's significant, it's powerful, it's amazing, and it helps. And Gibbs will be looked after by Jules and their adult kids, Vinny, or Mini Vinny as he calls him, and Georgia, not to mention his five-year-old grandson who he dotes on, Yashi. And he won't be working with us this weekend. We don't know what the rest of this season looks like, to be honest. But whenever he feels fit and well, I'll promise you, and he'll promise, that he'll be right back with us. So spare a thought, please, for our mate John Gibbs and his family. Say a prayer. And like so many of you, he's ready to kick cancer to the curb and beat the mongrel. And he'll be doing it with our collective arms wrapped around him. Get well, mate. We love you. Hello, Matt Elliott.
Andrew, that was beautiful, by the way. That was a very tough thing for you to have to do. And when you care about someone that much, it's impossible not to be affected by it. And I'm sure all our listeners are sharing the emotion that you shared with them now. And I just really appreciate that you did that for one of our, you know, much esteemed and loved colleagues.
I wanted to get through and almost did. But he, talking to him today, like, you saw him yesterday, and he's gaunt. You know, he's lost a lot of weight without meaning to, and he's known something is wrong. So he was kind of a bit relieved that he now has an answer, and from Friday we'll know, you know, have a treatment plan. So he's very determined, as you'd well imagine.
I'll sum John Gibbs up for you in that thing. Even though he's going through that, and he knew he was in adversity, he was more worried about family members and other people than himself. So I'm not going to go into the detail of that, but, you know, that sums up Gibbsy for me.
Do you think that the specialists that are going to be dealing with John Gibbs in the weeks to come will need advice on how to deal with his arm flapping and his morsels and his close talking?
Well, they're just so lucky that they've got close contact with you, Andrew, because, yes, they will need a lot of advice on that. And, you know, hopefully if he, you know, has any surgery, the Viking clap remains not in the surgery room.
Yes. If you have not checked that out on ABC socials from yesterday, I suggest you do it. It's a very special, very, very John Gibbs moment. Messages are already coming through. And I said this to Gibbsy when he asked me to announce it tonight. I'm like, just know that when we do, and it's going to get reported elsewhere, that you're about to be overwhelmed. And I experienced this almost 12 months ago, and it is the most amazing, powerful thing. And he's like, yeah, I know, but I'm just going to lay low today, but I'd like everyone to know. So we're with you, mate, and the texts are already coming through. Mark from the Central Coast, Maury, wow, that's not good. All the best wishes to Gibbsy. Stay well, mate. Andrew, very sad to hear about Gibbsy. I've never met him, but I feel like I know him after so many years on the radio. He's fantastic. Love to Gibbsy and his family. That's kind of you, Brett, in Canberra. Our love and best wishes to Gibbsy. What a character. And I know he has the strength to recover. Love hearts from Mike in Hornsby. Appreciate it, Mike. I'm so sad to hear about this news about Gibbsy. He's the best out of the lot of you with smiley faces. You don't need to even put a laughy face. He's brilliant. And his morsels, unreal. Sending love, prayers and best wishes for Jonty. May he have a speedy recovery and back with the ABC team as soon as possible for Louis' pranks. Best wishes, Kate. Well, see, even in recent weeks, Louis kind of laid off the pranks.
Yeah, well, that, you know, goes down to Luke Lewis's awareness and, you know, and his real love for Gibbsy as well.
Good evening, Andrew and Matthew. Now that the dust has settled down after another round of footy, what's your opinion on the referees' performance so far this season? And can you tell me why players are held accountable but officials aren't? There have been some horrible decisions made without any accountability. Still love ABC Radio Footy, Tiger Tooley, and wow, I'm praying for you, Jonty. Just heard the news 5 minutes ago, wishing you and your family a great outcome. Look, I think the referees on field are fine. I don't have an issue with them at all. There are some better than others and some better games than others. I hate the whole system because I think, Matthew, the system gives them very little chance of being the best possible referee.
Yeah, and we saw it on the weekend, didn't we, where a referee let a couple of incidents go and they weren't dire, but he had to go back and penalise afterwards.
Yeah.
If it was a serious incident, that I get that. So, look, it's a balancing act. You've also got to understand, because it's a contact sport, what the NRL have a responsibility to do is to mitigate as much contact with the head or foul play as possible. And, you know, one of the ways of doing that is getting the referee to intervene. It's just, as you said, Andrew, you pointed out perfectly, it's being overused at the moment.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I've said this and I'm so boring when I say it, but it is so true. The very best referees over the history of the game have had the best instinct. They will all tell you that, like from Bill Harrigan to Mick Stone to Greg Hartley, and I'm sure you go back, Jack Danzy, Kevin Roberts, these referees relied on their incredible instinct. Jared Maxwell, who I think does a very good job as referee's boss, because they are accountable. These guys have so many meetings and, you know, refs get dropped and whatever, rested and all this sort of stuff and move from the game to the touch judging or into the bunker. So they are accountable. They have quite the process going on. But there's only so many referees. You can't drop six of them and bring in another six because it'll get worse and worse. But I don't want to betray confidence, but I've stood behind the referees. So there's the bunker and there's the referee's coach, which is at the ground, and they've got headphone contact with the bunker and with the referee. And I've stood behind it when Jared Maxwell, as referee's boss, is fulfilling that role. There's not one NRL coach who is barking at decisions more than he is. He wears every decision like any fan does. It was quite revealing the few times I've done it. Like, wow, he's just like an NRL coach writing, we talked about this all week, what are we doing that for? Or, yes, you got that one right. It was really quite something. He is as passionate and as hard on your sleeve as anyone I've ever seen.
Yeah, and when you see the preparation that refs put in, Andrew, not just physically but strategically, and all the reviews and previews they do of their performances, you can understand why there's so much passion, because there's not a small investment in time. They don't show up and just, you know, make sure they got the pee in the whistle. They've got a whole lot of other things to do as well, and it's good that they're passionate about it. I just think they've just over-officiated in a few areas, particularly with the bunker.
Yep. On the text line, 0467 920222, we love you, Johnny Gibbs. You too, Andrew and MC and Luke and Maddie. Gibbsy's a champion. Thank you, Cody. Gibbsy's a strong man. Thanks, Andrew, for your words. Love all of my ABC core family. Phil, thank you, Phil. Andrew and Matthew, I heard John Gibbs had cancer. Sending lots of love to you. You're the most caring and gentle. Please take care. That's from Dion to her favourite sideline commentator, John Gibbs. Thank you, Dion. I'll pass that on. Well said, Andrew. Best of luck to Jonty for his recovery. No disrespect to Chris Barth, but can I suggest you ask Gibbsy to re-record the intro to the wonderful First Thoughts segment, so he'll be with us each weekend for the remainder of the season. Tom, I'm going to leave him alone from any of that just for now, but I like the idea very much, and thank you for your thoughts. Andrew, hope you had a good time in Mudgee. Got a bit of a break from the Pest Brothers yesterday, as I'm sure Jonty enjoyed that also. Very sorry to hear about Mr. Gibbs. Absolute legend. I was sorry to hear the poor... Rainbow Bum was sick as well. Yeah, Louis, he's doing much better. I spoke to Luke today. but he had the man flu yesterday. Was still happy that super sub Matthew Elliott saved the day, as I'm a fan of your work. Also, I'm wondering if last year's miracle of Mudgee has been replaced this year by yesterday's pathetic in Parramatta. As whilst it was an up-and-down game, it was wasn't of a great standard. Thanks for the great show. It was a pleasure, gents. Yours in Jibba, Milo in the Blue Mountains. That game was a very ordinary standard, Matty, let's face it, but it was close and it was fun to call, wasn't it?
Well,
in its own little way.
It may have been fun to call. It wasn't so much fun to watch, let's be honest. The Gibbsy's Viking clack made my day.
Yes.
I'll make that statement first. The game certainly... Oh, the Wiggles at halftime, and that was amazing.
That was cool.
And Keanu Kenny coming on, again for his third match of the weekend as well.
Now, you didn't give him another start, did you, yesterday, Keanu Kenny?
I gave him 2 points.
16 past 7. Now, I do want to ask you about Laurie Daly's decision today to stand down as coach of New South Wales and a legacy he leaves, both as a player and a captain and a coach.
Yeah, I'm lucky like you, Andrew, to know Laurie on a personal level. For me, my observations of Laurie during this whole series, the external noise had an impact on him. You could actually, you could see it, and I know there was some sort of speculation around a health issue and that's sort of been, pushed to the side. And
it's also incorrect.
Yeah.
He's got type 2 diabetes, which he's handling.
Yeah.
The health issue story bothered him.
Yeah. But again, I think everything was bothering him. I think it was really good for me as a person who really likes Laurie. I think it was the right decision at a personal level just to get himself away from that noise.
Yeah. And again, it's a pretty cool thing, isn't it? The only player to captain and coach New South Wales to a series deciding win in Brisbane.
Yeah, you add to that breaking that was it 8-year, 9-year run of the Queensland team. That's pretretty impressive as well.
Ah, dear. 0467 920 222. Matt King, what do you know about him and how confident would you be that he'll be a success?
I've met Matt a few times, obviously, and coached against him. You know what I've heard? These are the bad comments I've heard about him. And let me get rid of the bad news. These are the bad things I've heard about him.
Yeah, I know.
Everyone just loves him so much. And apparently his footy IQ is really high as well. And you have a think about some of the environments that he's come out of. It kind of makes sense, right? So it's really down to not about what he knows, not about his personality and his ability to engage in people. It's now to his self-belief. Like you asking him that question, are you too nice a guy to be a coach? He should have said immediately, as far as I'm concerned back then, no, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Because he is.
But I kind of like the fact that he admitted he wasn't. And now that gives me confidence that 2 years on, he is.
Yeah.
You've got to believe you are, right?
Well, there's some vulnerability in what he said to you.
Yeah.
And, I guess he's not going to say, well, no, you don't know me that well. I can be pretty awful.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Run at me. You can do a Luke Lewis. No, he is. Every time you see Matt King, you feel joy. He's just that type of guy. I don't pretend to know him very well, but every time I see him from afar or, if he's walking down the corridor of a plane, he's smiling and laughing with people.
And the other thing, Andrew, this will be his 10th year involved in coaching in Origin, so he's not going to go in there, naive as to the realities and the pressure around the game as well.
On the text line, 0467 920 222, and we're coming very close to buying and selling, Matthew. I look forward to digging deep into your wallet. Andrew, my thoughts are with you and what you went through 12 months ago and John Gibbs at this time. Prayers will be offered. Good on you, Kylie. Kickets ask, Gibbsy, sending lots of love from Sean. Cheers, Sean. My best wishes for John and his family. That's from Brad. Andrew, my first thought, Reed Gibbsy's diagnosis is that it just sucks. My second first thought is that it's really not fair. Go get him, Jonty. Nathan from Dubbo. Well done. You like that one, Nathan. Dave in Cairns says, a very emotional moment, Andrew. I'm sure everyone wishes him the best of karma and love and light. Come on, Gibbsy, kick cancer out of the park. Dave, appreciate your text. Andrew, best wishes to John Gibbs and his family, to all of you. These situations are very tough on everyone, says Sue. No way. Best wishes to you, Gibbsy. Hope your blue ringed octopus, mate, has the quiet moments you need. Gibbsy will smash cancer. Lots of love to him and his family, and you guys too, because I'm sure you'll be there for him. Do I have to revoice first thought now? Or is that you, Barthy? No, still give it to him. John and Andrew would say, God bless to all of you and thank you from Lee in Brisbane. So sorry to hear about John Gibbs, such a nice person. So come on, Gibbsy, the rugby league world is behind you. And look, I promise you, Gibbsy's about to find that out. He knows it anyway. He's got an amazing circle of friends. And from ex-footballers from 45 years ago, from when he was playing in 70s and 80s, to players who are still playing now, I've never known anything like it. For a guy who played 81 first grade games, you feel like he played 706 with the circle he's got going.
Yeah, and you hear his interaction with players after the game, Andrew. It's just like, did you live with him?
Well, it's when Daly Cherry Evans had announced he was leaving Manly last year, after all that speculation for weeks and weeks and weeks, and we did a game at Brookvale. It might have been a day or two after that announcement. He hadn't yet confirmed he's going to the Roosters. But post-game, he did an interview with Gibbsy, and I'll always believe he is the only one that could have done that interview, because Daly knows Gibbsy and respects him and was really open with him about it. It was the most fascinating post-game interview, when players aren't necessarily at their best, understandably, but it was unreal. But only Gibbsy could get that because of his relationship, in that case, with Daly Cherry Evans. All right, it is time for buying and selling.
Are you buying or selling?
You ready for this, Matthew?
I was born ready.
What did you do in your previous visits here? Were you a buyer, a seller? Were you a holder? Because I've rarely seen you dig into your kick when it's for realsies.
I'll just get you to buy it for me.
Are you buying or selling, Matthew Elliott? The competition is a two-horse race between Penrith and the Sydney Roosters.
No, I'm not buying that at all. I'm selling it. I heard your comments early in the show tonight, and yeah, I've been around footy long enough to know that that would be dumb. And I'm with you. I think Cronulla and the Warriors are also legitimate chances of winning the comp.
Yeah, I definitely think they are. So how would you seed them? Because I went one Penrith, two Warriors, three Roosters, four Sharks, five Dolphins.
Yeah, I'm going to put the Roosters in second spot, and that's the only change I'd make.
I don't think there's much between them. I think you've got to finish top four, but I don't think there's much between them.
I think there's a struck match between, like, look at Cronulla at the moment. I'm so enamoured with the way they're playing, and you know, I'm so glad for my friend Craig Fitzgibbon that they've responded to his coaching. But you know, they don't maybe have the best roster, but they're playing, as far as team footy goes, better than anyone else.
All right, so you're selling that idea. The Cowboys can't possibly make the finals after conceding 82 points in a game. Are you buying or selling?
I'm going to sell it, Andrew, and I know that's a tough sale to make, but with the economy the way it is at the moment,
you'd get a good price.
I'd get it.
Mind you, their draw should be a gimme. It should be. I know that's not how the world plays out. They have the Gold Coast away Thursday, Parramatta away, a bye, West Tigers at home, and Canberra in Townsville. Now, that's as easy a draw as you're going to get.
There's a glimmer of hope there for them, Andrew. It's their response that I'm really interested in seeing. They can't hit the rewind button from the weekend, or from Thursday, but it's their response.
Would you want them to if you coach? Are you making them sit through that, or are you picking out aspects of it? How are you handling that?
No, you're not.
What was the worst loss you suffered? Was it the 70-pointer?
Yes, thanks for raising that.
No, I'm not.
It's a really difficult. You never forget those. And I probably reviewed it in the wrong way. It's about moving attention. But footy in this year, Andrew, is more energy based than ever before. Not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. And exactly what you said about the Cowboys in your preview of this is they weren't there physically, mentally, or emotionally. They were distracted. As soon as something bad happened, all their heads dropped and they never came up until about the 82nd minute when they were chatting to each other after the game.
Penrith will be trying to re-sign Liam Martin, Isaiah Yeo, Nathan Cleary, Brian To'ol, Moses Leota, among others. Are you buying or selling that at least three of those big names will remain at the Panthers?
I'm buying that. Yeah, I've got no doubt about it.
Wasn't an interesting chat with Matt Cameron, their CEO, on the weekend?
Yeah,
in Mudgee.
But you look at that organisation. There's a lot. Look, I know young people and they're enamoured with money, but there's also what environment do you want to play your footy in?
Five rounds left. Manly is 10th. 2 points outside the eight. Canberra is next, 4 points out of it. Are you buying that no one behind Manly is playing finals footy?
No one behind Manly is playing finals footy, Andrew. I'm buying that.
And finally, and we share positive opinions on Michael Maguire.
Yep.
So this is not a crack at him in any way. But are you buying or selling that Michael Maguire and Brisbane are heading for an ugly divorce?
I'm selling it. For next year.
For next year?
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't happen, but I'm worried that it is heading in that direction.
Well, I saw the halftime sheds as well, Andrew, from the game on the weekend, and that didn't look good, did it?
And can I ask you a bonus, buying or selling?
Yes.
John Gibbs will kick Cancer's backside. Are you buying
I've
or selling
I've already bought
that?
It.
Beautiful.
That's a done deal.
26 minutes past seven. Matt Elliott, I'm Andrew Moore. This is NRL Monday. Our producer from our NRL coverage is Ralph Tucker. And he comes up with his director's cut every Monday night, which is one of his highlights from the weekend's footy broadcast.
The director's cut.
A night of records for the Roosters, a night of embarrassment for the Tennants in Townsville. Full time. Boy, won't they be talking about this for a while. The history books needing new pages. As it goes down as Roosters 82, Cowboys 12.
It was insane. A few texts before we get going in about 3 minutes. Buying or selling, Nicho Hynes breaks El Masri's record. He's three behind. 32 kicks in a row compared to the 35.
I shared the box with Gibbsy on the weekend. He said he cured him, so I'm buying that.
Mike from Hornsby, on buying Gibbsy's return to health and selling cancer and flushing it down the loo. Kith from Kingaroy, oh my giddy art, I can't believe the news that you've just told us, Andrew. I, like many, love Jonty and it's upset me, not a nano of the breath that it's upset you. So hugs and love to you all at ABC and prayers to Jonty and his family for the months ahead. I'll miss hearing him on the radio and getting glimpses of him on the TV at the end of the Channel 9 telecast. Thank you, Kath. It's always a highlight for sure to see his little teapot. While he's interviewing players. Andrew and Matthew, my best wishes to Gibbsy for a very speedy recovery. From Jared, the mad Parramatta supporter from Oatlands. Good evening, Andrew and Matthew. Passing my best wishes to Jonty. He couldn't have a better team of people to hold the fort while he's away. Looking forward to his return to the wireless. That's Nick in Charleville. Good evening, Andrew and Matt. Good luck to Jonty and my best wishes for him and his family. My first thought before you unveiled John's cancer was that Luke Lewis was going to pull up stumps at the ABC and become the New South Wales coach. Then my second thought was Matty E. Big Dog rejoining the ABC commentary team. Adrian from a windy yet moonlit Townsville. Well, you left for a year, but you've been back.
I've been back.
And you're going to Perth on the weekend.
Yes.
With Spriggy for Melbourne and Manly. And I no doubt will be part of our team as we fill whatever gaps we need to fill with Gibbsy. Ryan Hoffman, late night Hoff, is going to be flying to Sydney to be with us on Sunday for the We're at Jubilee. You are flying back from Perth on Sunday. But Hoffy will join Louie and myself for the game between Dragons and Sharkies. And on Friday, joining Luke Lewis and I in the boardroom for that big clash between Penrith and the Warriors will be Michael Carrianis.
Andrew, if these other commercial channels can do it from... I could have done it from the screen from the plane for you.
Yeah, we'll give you a call about quarter past. sending best wishes and hope to the Gibbs and his family and the cool team. Keep collecting morsels for his comeback game. And I'll keep on an eye on the birds for you in the meantime, Taryn. That's brilliant. Andrew, I've been in Vietnam for 5 weeks, so I have a big thank you to you and the whole cool team. I love following all the game and the jibber-jabber even more on the ABC Listen app. I'm also wishing Jonty strength and courage for the cancer fight. Paul of Canberra, that's a lovely text too. Thank you so much. I'll pass all this on to John Gibbs and we'll be in constant touch with him and his family. Matt Elliott, great to see you, mate. I'll hear you on the weekend in Perth. Enjoy the travels.
I will, Andrew, and thank you for sharing this beautiful moment with us, and all our colleagues have lit up the phone as well.
Yeah, Alan Tung amongst others. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Ralph. Thank you, Jared. Thank you for listening. I'm Andrew Moore. Catch you on the footy.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.